Father, again, to come into thy presence. What a blessed privilege you've given us. The vilest of the vile, worms of the earth, vessels, Father, fitted in wrath and destruction, but yet we were snatched as a brand. Chapter of the book of Philippians. Let me read some of it to you. Well, we'll read it all. First chapter. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. That's very good right there. I ought to stop right there and talk about that. Paul and Timotheus, servants. That describes who they are. Not slaves. Slaves in a sense, servants of Jesus Christ. They served him. What does that mean? To serve Jesus Christ. The scriptures say that the cherubims in glory, day and night, serve him. Day and night, serve him. Well, it says that they served. They were servants of Jesus Christ, and to all the saints in Christ Jesus, all the saints in Christ, not out of Christ. Remember I told you last week, to be in Christ was glory, and to be out of Christ was condemnation. Any man that's out of Christ, if he's not in Christ, he's in the first Adam. And if he's in the first Adam, he serves his master, the devil. That's a hard statement. You listen to me. That's a hard statement. A man that's not in Christ. Now, this is according to the Bible. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. God help me. You know, in my heart, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. But a man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's serving his father, the devil. You know that? That's hard. He's serving his father's the devil. God in heaven's not his father. We're only the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, by adoption, by the sovereign mercy and the sovereign grace of God. Are we subdued and brought to the place of resistance for self-resistance and give ourselves wholly unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Those outside are serving their father, the devil. Their bad works, even their good works, is of the devil. All right. Saints in Christ. That's where a man's got to be. He's in, got to be in Christ. We sang that song, faultless to stand before thy throne, dressed in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. Not in his righteousness, not in Christ plus my baptism, plus my good works, plus my holding out faithful, plus my doing this, plus my not doing something else. It's in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. In Christ. Oh, we ought to just take up that study sometime. Well, anyhow, it says to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, to the preachers and the deacons. That's what that word bishop means. It means preachers, pastors, elders, evangelists, preachers. Which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy and your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Favorite verse among those that understand the gospel. Being confident, being persuaded, Paul said, that he which hath begun, the Holy Spirit hath begun a work in us. If he hath, in the operation of God in the realm of salvation, the Holy Spirit begins a work in this poor sinner's heart. And if he begins it, rest assured, he'll not give up until the work is done. And the work is complete. That's what that verse means. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God ever sets out to get us, rest assured, he's going to get us. He knows how to break the will. He knows how to put the stubborn heart down. He knows how it's done. He'll break us. He'll bring us home to himself. Well, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. That's where you're at, Paul said, the Philippians, how he loved them. He said, I have you in my heart. That's where you are. In as much as both in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. He's swearing a vow here, taking God in as his witness to this. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things which are excellent, that ye may be sincere in without offense till the day of Christ, till Christ comes again, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. That is, all things work together for good to them that love God. That's what Paul's talking about here. He said, that which has happened to me, I've been put in jail, put in prison, but he said, because I have been put in, I've had more opportunity to preach the gospel. The gospel is not bound. And I've had that opportunity. Well, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. That is, there's no genuine motive in his heart for preaching the gospel. It's not for the glory of God, but it's out of contention and spite and so forth. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. All going to defend it. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, that I rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. He's preached. What should we preach? Christ. That's what Paul preached. He preached Christ always, under all circumstances, making a difference to middle class people, to poverty bound people, to kings in their palaces. His one burden, his one message was Christ. Christ is preached. I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, whether I live or die. So he said, for me to live is Christ. If I'm going to live, he said, Christ is the capstone of my life. He said, but to die is better. It's gain. But if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait between two, or betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Jesus Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh more needful for you. That is, for me to be here with you right now is seems to be the will of God. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Now that 27th verse is an interesting verse, that. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I think to understand that, we've got to understand what that word, or what it means in the context of the word conversation. Now, conversation does not, well, it's not just bound to one meaning, that is, a meaning that you and I have in this 20th century in regard to that particular word. Not just to talk one to another, to converse one with another. That's not necessarily all that's involved in that word conversation as it's found here in the 27th verse of the first chapter. It means, or it has something to do, I'm sure, with the whole course of our life and behavior in the world. In fact, the word here signifies the actions and privileges of citizenship. So, we are commanded. Now, in light of this definition of the word conversation, we're commanded to let our actions and privileges as citizens of the New Jerusalem be such as becometh the gospel. That's what he says. Only let your conversation. What is conversation? What does it mean there? It means the actions and privileges of citizenship. Now, in light of that, he commands us, believers in Jesus Christ, he commands us to let our actions and our privileges as citizens of the kingdom of heaven or the New Jerusalem be such, our action and privileges be such as becometh the gospel of Christ. Now, how can we compare this with the gospel of Christ? Well, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is very simple. It's very simple in that respect. Very simple. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world born of a virgin. He was eternal God. Of course, that's not simple. No man can understand that. But we're talking about the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ in the stead of sinners. Nothing so mysterious about it. It's not clothed with mysterious words, is what I'm trying to say. The gospel is very simple in that respect. So, the believer, he ought to be very simple and very plain in his habits, in his conduct, as he makes his way from earth to heaven. Very simple and very plain in his habits. That is, in his mannerisms, in his speech, his mannerisms. In fact, in his whole behavior, ought to be very simple. No fancy airs needed to be added to his life. His dress needs to be simple. His speech needs to be simple. He needs to be plain in all of his habits. Plain and simple. As becometh the gospel of Christ. No need for us to act like we're showmen or members of the Hollywood stage or New York stage. We're simple, plain people. I read here the other day in the newspaper a church, I don't know whether it's a colored church or not, but he was inviting folks to come to church, and in his advertisement were these words: I come to a church where everybody is somebody. Well, that's contrary to what I'm saying. Everybody's nobody. I mean, in the light of who we are, we're nobodies. Who are we? What do we have that we could brag or boast about? What do we have that we did not receive? See? If that be the case, if we're nothing, if we're less than nothing, and all that we have we owe to him who loved us and gave himself for us, then we ought to be plain and simple in our conduct, in our behavior, in our habits, like he was plain and simple, or like the gospel's plain and simple. It says, let your citizenship, or let your conversation, let your privileges, let your actions, your mannerisms and all of that, you being a member of this heavenly Jerusalem, as becometh the gospel of Christ. Well, another thing about the gospel in light of what he said here is this. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminently true. It's gold without dross. And I'll tell you this, that the believer's life is valueless apart from truth. Doesn't mean a thing if there's no truth to our lives. Paul said you are living epistles. You're living letters. And that's what we ought to be. If our lives doesn't square with our profession, why, we ridicule. We ridicule and mock the grace of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be a consistency in our lives. Not go to church one Sunday out of the month or two Sundays every 6 weeks. There ought to be some faithfulness in our lives, not only in our attendance to the worship services, but attendance to religious duties in everyday life, in our conduct and deportment before those that we, on the job, those that we, honesty prevailing in every area of our lives. Honesty, honesty. Honesty to the man we work for. If he pays us, let's work for him. Let's don't steal from him. That's to tell me that that's the thing that men do now on the job. They steal from their employers, figure they've got something coming to them. That is, if we work for this fellow over here, he's got a feed store, why, we'll take home a dinner bucket full of horse and mule feed of an evening. Well, he's got plenty of it. If we work in the mines, we'll take home a dinner bucket full of nails. Well, what do they care? They've got lots of it. Or we'll steal a wrench or this. No, what I'm saying is, brethren, and you know this as well as I do, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preeminently true. It's truth without the mixture or taint of error. It's truth and nothing but the truth under God, so help us. And our lives ought to square to this. Truth ought to be prevalent in every area of our lives. We ought to be honest and straight, brethren, honest and straight that men could say about us. I don't necessarily believe what he preaches or what he practices or what he's identified with religiously, but I'll tell you this one thing. If he says something to you, you can bank on it, you can count on it, he'll tell you the truth. He won't lie to you. He'll tell you the truth. If he works for you, he'll give you. If he works for you for 8 hours, he'll give you 8 hours' work. Equal pay for equal work. He'll do it. That ought to be said about Christians. Christians have a bad name now. Did you know that? They have a bad name. They'll say, well, he calls himself a Christian. Why, he cusses just like other people. He'll lie to you. He'll steal. He'll cheat from you. He'll beat you if he gets a chance. But a lot of people say that about Christians. Got a bad name. And the scriptures say here that our conversation, our citizenship, our actions, our privileges as being the members of the kingdom of God ought to be true as becometh the gospel. Make a difference whether we're scrub persons. We work at some lowly meal a job that there's no recognition to it. It looks like it's the filth and scum of the earth as far as jobs are concerned. We ought to work and with our hands the best that God has given us the ability to do and be honest about it. Honest, upright. That's right. I know it's easy for me to say. I know that it's easy for us to talk like this. But it's not so easy to put it in practice, but we ought to make an earnest attempt to live in such a manner that our lives would not be offensive to the gospel. That our lives would not offend. That's the reason that we need to be very cautious and very slow about blowing off. About what we are and how much we believe and how much we know. We ought to be very, very cautious about that because if our lives are not consistent, see? Because I'll tell you, people will find that soft spot in you. They'll find that. You go telling someone great, big, long stories about yourself and how wonderful you are and criticizing him and his religion. He'll find that sore spot, that chink in your armor, if you got one. He'll find it. He'll point it out. It'll be a sore spot to you. That's right. Well, so much for that. The gospel is preeminently true. It's gold without dross. Our lives ought to be the same way. The I said, they will be valueless without truth. Truth is the jewel makes up the beauty in our lives. It's truth. Truth. Boy, that's hard. I won't dwell on that a little bit. Listen, that's hard. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is a hard and difficult thing. And don't you think it's not? Now, it is. To tell the whole truth. You just have a conversation with someone. The first thing you know, you'll get yourself exaggerating at some point. That's right. You'll do it. Why do we do that? Why do we exaggerate little points? Things that don't mean, it doesn't add anything to us. We don't need to do it. See? You think, well, I'm such a dull person if I don't exaggerate a little bit. Very dull. So you're not dull. You're a child of God. Why? Angels rejoice in heaven when you repented. Alright. Now, another thing about the gospel. The gospel is a very fearless gospel. It boldly proclaims the truth. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be fearless. We ought to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Whether men like it or not, we ought to be equally faithful and true as the gospel is equally faithful and true. True to it. Fearlessly proclaim it. Not caring whether men accept our persons or not. We're not seeking favor of this world. I know some preachers will come along to churches and they'll kind of water things down a little bit and kind of steer clear of some hard areas in order that they might be invited back. See? Brethren, let us, as we tell the story on the job, as opportunity under God presents itself, let us be faithful and true to tell men the truth about themselves. That's right. Tell them the truth about themselves. Don't lie to them. You can't save them. You can't save them. Your exaggerations, your slighting of the gospel cannot help that much in saving a poor soul from hell. You can't do it. Tell him the truth. Tell him the truth. The whole truth about himself. Don't slack off. Don't slack off. God won't use a lie to save anybody. God will use the truth and nothing but the truth. You tell him the truth about himself. You tell him how helpless and helpless he is. Tell him he can't save himself. Tell him he's a poor, poor, poor sinner, a worm of the dust, and he can't save himself. And that every work that he does, both good or bad, is obnoxious unto God Almighty. Tell him that. Oh, boy. Tell him about Jesus. Tell him about Jesus, who's mighty to save. Saves a man. By his substitutionary work. By his atonement. He saves him. He keeps him saved. Through time and eternity. Well, it's a fearless gospel. But it's a very gentle gospel too. Very gentle. I know that some preachers, and I certainly am guilty of it from time to time, have been guilty of it maybe more so than in days gone by than I am right now, but some preachers, professors, religion, they make the gospel to be sharper than a hedge thorn. Sharp, fierce, and all of that. But we ought not to make it that way, just preach it like it is. We make it any harder than what our Master sets forth here in the truth, gentle. Well, in the gospel too, it's very loving, very loving. The gospel's too a dying world. A dying world. Lost sinners. In fact, if I remember right, the last command that our Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do was this. What do you think it was? It's to love one another. That's the last command. Love one another. Last command. We ought to love one another. We ought to actually here in this fellowship right here, we ought to love one another. give ourselves one to another, prove our love one to another, help one another, not criticize one another, love one another, come to one another's rescue, pray one for another. Oh, if we're bone, if we've been brought into that body, into that one body, and made of His bone, of His flesh, in union with Him, we're all together. We ought to love one another. Love. I'm not talking about a blind love that doesn't see one another's faults. We've got faults. My soul, every one of us has got faults. We'll have faults until the day we die. But let's love one another in spite of our faults. I'm not saying overlook one another's faults. I'm saying forbear with one another. I'm saying bear ye one another's burdens. That's what I'm saying. Love one another. Overlook or forbear with our difficulties, our faults. Man, we are not perfect. We're not perfect. There's no church on the face of God's green earth that's perfect. I don't care how big a congregation they are, and I don't care how big the preacher is. I don't care how long he preaches. I don't care how much he knows of the Bible. I don't care about every twist that he has on every scripture. He's sinful, and his church is sinful. That's right. You can mark it down, brethren. But in light of that, let's be loving one to another. Undertake one for another. Well, another thing. Lastly, in light of this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. If conversation has to do with citizenship, he says, you being a member of this heavenly Jerusalem, this kingdom of God, you being a member of that, let your life and your conduct, your action and your privileges, your mannerism, your whole behavior, not just your conversation as you talk to one another, but your whole behavior, live in such a manner as it becomes the gospel, as it becomes the gospel. The gospel's true. The gospel is loving and tender and kind and gentle and all that. But the last thing that we can say about the gospel this evening is the gospel's holy. The gospel's holy because the Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. He's the holy and undefiled one. Now in light of that, the gospel's holy. It never excuses sin. It pardons sin. Doesn't excuse it. It doesn't excuse it, it pardons it. No man will ever get to be where the Lord Jesus Christ is on the basis of God excusing his sin. Oh no, sin's got to be paid for. It never excuses sin, it pardons it, but only through an atonement. God can only forgive a sinner through a blood atonement. And there's only one blood atonement that will satisfy the justice and the holiness and the righteousness of God, and that's the blood that flowed from Calvary's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if our life is to resemble the gospel, then we've got to shun everything and anything that would hinder our conformity to the gospel, or our conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being conformed to His image, which is known as progressive sanctification. We're just a little bit better in attitude today than we was last year. That's right. You're a little bit better now in attitude than you was 20 years ago when you first made a profession of faith. I'm not saying that this old man ever gets any better. He doesn't get any better. He doesn't get any better. But there's some things about you that progressively gets a little better. Okay? And when getting better, this is what I mean. When you're getting better, you're going to have a dim view of yourself. That's what I mean about getting better. When you're getting better in your own eyes, you're going to have a dim view of what you are in your eyes. Say, oh my soul, I'm such a poor, sinful creature of the dust. I wonder how in the world God could put up with me for 1 minute. Oh, everything about me is false and deceitful and full of sin. I'm a sinner. Bottom of my, you're getting a little better then. See, when you was first saved, you never had that view of yourself. You thought maybe that you had something to do with your salvation. Didn't you? Everyone that way. Thought, well, it's because I made a decision or because I made a choice. It was kind of up to me, but as you made some progress in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to the place that you say, well, I didn't have a thing to do with it. It was all of God. It wasn't of me. He made me willing. Well, you see what I'm talking about. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now listen to this. That, whether I come to see you or else be absent, whether I'm able to come or I'm not able to come, that I may hear of your affairs. Hear of what? Hear how your life is being conducted in light of the gospel. Hear of your whole tenor, your whole conduct of your life. That might become the gospel. I may hear of your affairs. Now he says, stand fast in one spirit. That has something to do with some unity there. You're united. You're united in one spirit, in one mind. And what's your purpose? What's your purpose? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's what Paul meant when he said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. That's what he means right here. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Set for the defense of it. Well, all right. We'll meet again, Lord willing, this Sunday morning. I trust the Lord will help us. I trust He will. Pray to that end. Let's remember to pray one for another now. Pray one for another. Pray that, listen, you're getting older. You're getting older and I'm getting older. We've been here a long time. A long time. Now listen to me. Did you ever stop, just stop nothing else to bother you. You just kind of look at your heart as it really is. Just lay the thing bare. Just lay it right out before you and say this to yourself. Did you ever say, am I going to go through life and be useless? You ever say that? Useless. I say that about every day. About every day I say, well, am I going to go through this life? Here we've got opportunities, advantages, and all. Am I going to be useless? Useless. Oh, pray that God will use us. Pray that God will use me. God will use you. God will use this church. I'm not talking about great soul-winning evangelism. I'm not talking about that. God will use us to glorify His name. Glorify His name, that He'll be glorified. I don't care if nobody ever hears about you or nobody ever hears about me. I don't care about that. I'm not looking for a name anyhow, are you? No. All right.